This is the Kinky Cast. This is an adult, sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years old, please stop the podcast now. This is episode 14 of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. In today's episode, we have Joy Spreader of FindAMunch.com. In our Venturing Out series, here's our hosts Woody and the Beast.
Thanks, Max, and it's that time again for another round of the Kinky Cast. Sitting across the table is the Beast, back from his under-the-weather condition from last week.
Yes, Woody, I'm feeling 200% better and happy today. I'm joyful today, even.
Wow, joyful. That's a good thing.
Yes, it is. And we have the lovely Joy with us.
Ah, that kind of joyful.
Yes, that kind of joyful. Joy's coming to us from Atlanta, which Rank.com said was the 10th most kink-friendly city in the U.S. Hello, Joy.
Hi, guys.
Joy is, a.k.a. Joy Spreader, has been actively exploring the lifestyle and community for nearly a decade, attending munches and meets around the country along the way. Joy got her start exploring in the days of message boards and AOL, stuck with it through Yahoo, and is now a dedicated explorer on FetLife. For many years, she was the owner of an active Yahoo group for lifestyle newcomers, populated by several experienced individuals, many of those community leaders. She is a suburban soccer mom to two middle schoolers with a PTA card and minivan to prove it. Joy loves to read, write, and enjoys puzzles and games of all kinds. Her personal motto is to live, to learn, to grow, to share. And she strives to do it each and every day. Hello, Joy.
Hey, how are you?
We are.
I'm glad to hear you're feeling better.
I am. Last week was kind of dicey. Nashville is the allergy capital of North America, and that was where I was last week, so it was most entertaining. Now, Joy, you took on a project of creating FindAMunch.com. What is that?
Well, basically, it's a worldwide collection that has thousands of links to local groups, gatherings, munches, meets of all kinds, all across the world. It also has information and articles geared for the lifestyle newcomers and for organizational leaders.
Whatever motivates you to take on such a large project and create the site?
Well, it is a large project. Right now, I already have 14,000 links in it, and it is growing every single day. It came originally from, as you mentioned, my early days in Yahoo and when I was the owner of a newcomers group. And my goal then was always to get people connected with information that could help them in their process, whether it was individuals who could answer the right questions, whether it was a website, whatever could help them the most. So at that point, when I had the Yahoo group, I had kind of a directory that I was building then. And of course, in that day and age, websites were, you know, relatively few and far between, or they were set up on places like GeoCities, which has, of course, gone away. Angel Fire, which is basically dead, you know, and a lot of things that have completely gone by the wayside. But it was an attempt to gather things up. Yahoo group, they had groups that got arbitrarily disbanded or deleted by Yahoo's management. So I've, along the way, found it very disturbing and very challenging for people to find the groups that they need. When we moved over from Yahoo to FetLife, which was quickly becoming the go-to place for groups, I realized that the same sort of need was there. People were still having trouble finding what they needed to as far as groups and gatherings and information about where munches are. You would think it'd be easy, but it's not near as simple as it would like to be. So my website has the intention of trying to pull that information together so people can find what they need in one simple, easy place.
And we commend you for that, and thank you. So tell us, what is a munch?
Well, at its most basic, a munch is just simply a casual gathering of kinky people in a non-kinky setting.
Okay, so this isn't about whips and chains and play parties and all that stuff.
Well, it is and it isn't. What it is a way sometimes to get to know the people who can invite you to enjoy whips and chains and play parties and such. It isn't a play party in and of itself. It isn't a chance to be whipped or chained or anything else. Contrary to what it may sound like, nobody gets munched at a munch, including the guests.
Oh, so sad.
I know I just lost about half the people who wanted to go for the time.
But I'm sure that we will be enticing them back here in a bit. Is attending a munch a good first step for people wanting to venture out into their local community? The topic of today's show is about venturing out in your community. So is this munch thing a good first step for people?
Absolutely. It's a great first step to meet people. It's a chance to get faces and names put together and to get your own name out there a little bit as you get to know people.
How do they find the local munches? Of course, they go to findamunch.com.
Well, of course. And, you know, people also will recommend looking, for instance, on Google and looking for your town for, like, you know, Atlanta and BDSM or Atlanta and Munch. But like all these searches, there's drawbacks and challenges to them. Of course, if you search for the word munch, as much as anything, you'll find taco trucks and other things like that that may not be exactly what you're looking for. Also, I recommend for people to, when they're looking, look around themselves a little bit wider. For instance, if you live in, say, San Diego, of course, you're in Southern California, and not all groups in San Diego are going to name themselves San Diego Kink Lovers, for instance. They may have a name that's just SD for San Diego in their group name, whether it's a FetLife group or a website or any number of other things. Or they may list themselves under Southern California or SoCal or any number of things. So whether you're looking on Google or looking on findamunch.com, I recommend that people look through as many of the resources as possible to find what they need. If I may give an example.
Go ahead.
In my case, when I first started exploring, you know, I looked in the town that I live in. Relatively small town out in suburbia kind of thing, but not the smallest. And I looked for it, and I tried to search for events here. Nothing gives. Turns out that actually there is a munch here, but it was always advertised under the county name. And had I not, you know, learned through another website that group was there, I would never have found my own local group, and I might have given up being able to explore my area.
That's good advice. I come from the San Francisco Bay Area community, and the South Bay down in San Jose was always a big thing, and so it's South Bay this and South Bay that.
Right, and even then, you might be seeing groups that are named Bay Area such and such, or South Bay Area such and such, or just South Bay. So
right.
Especially in areas like that, you need to really look around in different things, because especially on FetLife, we have the places menu where you can click on a place. But if you live in, say, you know, Oakland, if you click on Oakland, you're only going to get part of the picture of what's around you. If you click on Atlanta, you're not going to get what's in the suburbs of Atlanta. Unfortunately, FetLife isn't set up, at least as it is right now, for kind of a radius search. And, of course, most options aren't out there right now for that. And little by little, I'm hoping that we'll be able to do more with that on findamunch.com. But even now, you know, you have to look at all of your ideas, all the ways you can brainstorm to identify your area. Some people, it's called the Tri-Cities area, for instance, or the Three Rivers, or the, you know, any number of things that may or may not be the case. So especially on things like findamunch.com, look through your entire state or province or country and really look through what's in there. Don't just stop, for instance, at A because you're in Anaheim.
As much as we love FetLife, its search capability is extremely limited.
Agreed. Very much so.
So does FindAMunch have a better way of searching?
We have both a search bar where you can look in there. For instance, say you're looking for just rope or G&G groups. But also by being essentially like a text document or a text page, you can search within that. For instance, for those who use PCs, you can do a Control F and find on a page, like say you're looking at the California page, places where it mentions rope. That can help you narrow it down a little bit, but even then, there's a lot of things that where groups hide in plain sight. one of the examples I give a lot of times too is, you know, groups name themselves things like N.E. Kingsters, like N and E. People in the area might say, oh, well, that's obviously Northeast Kingster. And of course, the people in that Northeast area think naturally it refers to them. But unfortunately, is that Northeast United States? Is that New England? Is that Northeast Ohio? It's very hard to tell. And unfortunately, you'll find that groups will name themselves in these ways that make sense to them at the time they design the group name, but don't necessarily make sense on a FetLife or in a searching basis, whether it's through findamunch.com or in a website itself.
And I'm as guilty as most. My munch is called the ALS munch, and it makes no mention of what ALS is or the city or anything. It's just ALS munch, and I guess I need to rethink that.
As a tip for group leaders, the only two places on a FetLife search that will help you your group be found is in the group name, you know, for instance, the ALS munch, but also in the group description. On that same page, on the About page, there's a Rules area and a Restricted To area. Neither of those is searched, and neither of those will help people find you. So, for instance, if you say Restricted To Wisconsin Residents, and that's the only place you mentioned Wisconsin, people in Wisconsin aren't going to be able to find your group.
These are some great tips here. Moving on, what do people need to consider before they attend their first month?
One of the biggest, I think, is how you would like to be introduced and how you would like to meet people. For instance, you want to really look at what your name is, and this ties into, you know, FetLife, your email addresses, and that sort of thing. Think about what you're willing to share and how your name is presented. Now, it's all great to, you know, have a name, Lord, my package is big, but is that really what you would like people to call you in a general sense when they introduce you? It's nice to have in my case, for instance, my screen name on FetLife is Joy Spreader, and I go just simply by Joy, you know, at Munches. You might want to consider having a name that you can present, or at least know what name people can call you by. You don't have to go by your real or birth name or give a first and a last name, anything like that, but at least have a name that people can attach to you and put a face with a name that will work.
And what else might they need to be considering before they attend their first event? Are there other tips?
Well, I would suggest that you make sure that you read through the information provided about the month. I can't tell you how many times people may not, for instance, double check the time or the place. Look at what you need to know about where the actual location is. Is it in the back part of a restaurant? Is it in the ballroom? Is it in a side room? How will you know where the people are actually meeting, and how will you need to ask for it when you get there? Because obviously this is, you know, we preserve a certain amount of anonymity. And part of the way we do that is we're obviously not going to have a big sign on our door, sex party beyond this door. We are going to want to have some degree of discretion.
But why not?
And that may mean...
But why not?
Exactly. But for some reason, it works a little bit better if you know that, for instance, they are going by the computer group or Mary's Meet or however the particular group is known. So be familiar with that so that you're not caught off guard when you get there and not know where you're going. I also suggest that people will try to reach out to either the group organizer or the leader or someone that is an active member in the group, especially if you've never been before and especially if you're nervous. So many times, you know, people are, even if they don't have an official greeting program or somebody to officially meet you, they're often willing to meet with you a little bit beforehand or to be able to walk in with you so you don't have to know absolutely no one as you walk in the door, which can be such a comfort.
This is true. As a longtime munch organizer, I can't count the number of people that will show up at the event. And we meet at a relatively small restaurant, and we have a very large group, so we're easy to find. But the number of people that say they can't find the group, or the number of people that will stand around the edges and not join the group, just being the general restaurant. And if they had reached out to us, we would have been more ready to welcome them into the gathering. So yes, definitely reach out to the organizer.
Absolutely. You know, that's another advantage to putting, you know, faces and names together. Not that you have to have necessarily a face picture on, say, FetLife, but at least if you know that you'll be expecting, you know, Max in a red shirt beforehand, it might make it a little easier to walk in the door and to make that a first acquaintance.
I don't think Max wears a red shirt, does he, Beast?
Max is usually nude or in black, I believe.
Yeah, usually.
Usually, mm-hmm. Yeah. His little circus days.
Yeah, Cassie's usually in skin.
Yeah. Joy, I would like to make a addition to your comments that people, when they attend, they also need to understand their own story pretty well and understand what they're ready and should share with others. I see a tendency for some first-timers to overshare about themselves or not to know what they want to say when they are asked about what they're into or some of those things. And I think people may need to give that a little thought ahead of time.
That's a good point. I think a lot of times people may expect that the conversations are going to be all about sex. And that's one hesitation people tend to have about munchers. Oh, I don't want to go. Why would I want to go to a room full of people doing nothing about talking about kinky sex? That's not generally what happens. Now, at munchers, you know, this may be an opportunity to find people that have kinks in common with you, but as often as not, people may talk about the weather, sports, the most mundane of things. But along those lines, you know, you should also keep in mind that neither topic, be it vanilla or kinky sex, are you obligated to talk about. If somebody presses a little too much in an area you don't feel comfortable talking about, be it, you know, somebody, for instance, maybe casually asking about your job or your family, not trying to pry, but perhaps just trying, you know, working on general conversational topics, it may feel a little intrusive to you. And like all things, you can simply say, I'm not comfortable talking about that.
There is some conversation that just shouldn't come up at munches. We should not ask a newbie, well, what do you do? Who do you work for?
Yes.
That's been etiquette for a long time, but a lot of new people don't know that.
A lot of roles that you think of naturally in a very vanilla sense. Oh, so who do you work for? You know, oh, you have kids. Things that we think of as quite natural in an ordinary conversation may or may not be generally polite in a more kink setting and may be perceived as intrusive or invasive or even worse, depending on the person receiving or just how the conversation's going.
Something that we see occasionally is people oversharing about their kink life in this semi-public or even public setting. Do you have any feedback or tips on that?
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of munches, they might have the tendency to ask, you know, well, if there is introductions going around, you know, okay, your name and maybe if you're top or bottom. This isn't necessarily the time as you're talking to say, oh, I'm a bottom and I've always loved, you know, tickling and, you know, I love to be spanked and, oh, you know, what I really would love is to find a mistress. And, you know, there was this one time when I was 16, there was this lady that lived down the street and suddenly you have given way more information than most of the people there may need to get to know you better. Let the conversations come naturally, but also remember these are two-way conversations. And there is plenty of time to share the information that you want to share.
When they attend their this first month, what should they expect? How should they dress? What will the new person walking in the first time find?
Well, as you mentioned, sometimes you might not even be able to tell the munches there because what you'll find is that the people are very much like yourself. You know, we tend to, at least off the cuff, think that people are going to be all models or all a certain image, or they'll be walking around in fishnets and corsets and prancing about and having very somber, dumb faces or very downcast, doormat, submissive faces. And you know, actually, none of that is generally the case. What you will find are people that look just like you. There are people who are tall and short and thin and overweight, and some are more fashionable than others. And they're people. Simple as that. They are just people getting together. and you probably won't be able to tell them out from a crowd. And ideally, that's our goal, is that these are just people getting together in a nice vanilla place to get to know each other better as people.
I'd like to interject a comment I picked up from Lee Harrington's book on coming out and entering the community. The quote is, "Dark dungeons where chains rattle, bodies withering in shadow. Latex-clad mistresses who entertain the most select clients who have found the one true way into their domain. Ancient traditions of leathermen passed down from man to man, available only to those willing to endure the trials of indoctrination. It's hot porn. If you want to keep dreaming that the world of BDSM, fetishism, and kink is a scary place, full of depraved taboos and grinning demons who will force you to do their bidding, you're going to be disappointed."
Absolutely. We all come in with a certain degree of fantasy built up about what we will find when we first step out, including the rattling of chains and, you know, the cracking of whips and the rustling of leather and vinyl. But that's not what you're going to find at a
And month. That kind of segues into our more general talk about community. The community is a much broader world than just the world of fetishes and kink. We're real people out there forming a purposeful community.
Right. Even if all you're ever going to be is connected to your one monogamous partner in your bedroom, you know, getting involved in the community still has a lot of valid and important points. A lot of it is education and, you know, reaching out and socialization. It's important to know that what you're doing is safe. And safety is a big issue for what we do, because what we do does have inherent risks, whether they're emotional, physical, mental. By communicating with other people beyond just what we can read online, beyond what may be just fantasy fodder, we can find out what the real risks are and be intelligent about the choices we make, whether we're willing to accept those risks and how to mitigate those risks.
Yes, education, education, education. And that's something most communities are picking up on and doing more and more of all the time. How does education work in your community?
In the greater Atlanta area, we are very fortunate that there are a number of munches and groups and places for people to meet. As far as there's writers groups, there are discussion groups, there are discussion presentations where people, you know, might do a topic at a play party, for instance, beforehand, a demonstration. And in fact, in a lot of areas, this will be common, that before a general play, you'll also find that there's some sort of demonstration or information or education that goes on. But fortunately, munches can also be a segue to that. You can find out who, for instance, if you're interested in learning more about rope, for instance, you can find out who would I need to talk to find out more about immobility ties, for instance. How can I really tie my girlfriend down because she likes to squirm and wants to get away and I want to keep her from squirming and getting away? Learn who to talk to as much as learning what to ask and what to learn about.
The Munch is a great place to start your networking and your knowledge building about how-tos and where-to-goes and so forth.
I think we often find people asking online, oh, I need a mentor. Well, mentors aren't just simply something that you sign up for on an application process generally. It comes from an evolution of a conversation and getting to know people better. And as you get to know people better, you find people who can answer and give you examples and work with you on learning who you are better, learning skills better. And a munch is a great way to start those conversations and getting to know where you need to go.
And finding the mentor that works for you is as much about the chemistry between the individuals as it is about somebody that knows what you want to know, that you must have a chemistry to communicate with them in an effective way.
Exactly.
So you've been out in the community, your local community, for nearly a decade now?
I have. So I will remember my first munch being very nerve-wracking and very scary. I, like all the people that I've ever talked to, you know, it's like, what do you wear? How will I know you're there? you know, who will I run into? All the common things. I remember going through the same nervous, you know, dilemmas that I read and hear about everybody else. So it was my first time too before, just like it was for the group leader, just like it was possibly even for the person right next to you, it might be their first time.
And was it anything like you had built it up in your head to be?
It was nowhere near as bad as I was dreading it would be. All the nervousness and all the energy I had built up into it totally wasn't there once I got there. Which brings me to another point, you know, that one of the things I worried about, because I did a lot of studying online beforehand, is I was worried about protocol. Oh, no, I'll go to the munch, and what if I don't, you know, respect this guy enough or know if this gal's a dom, and how will I know who's a mistress and how will I call him and who's a sir and who's a master? And I was just a tizzy with these things. You know, do I need to kneel when I get in the door? You know, what will they expect of me? And the good thing about munch is, as they are just a good general vanilla opportunity, and by vanilla I mean something that isn't in the kink realm, you know, it gives you an opportunity to walk in and everybody is an equal there. Yes, there are doms, there are subs, there are switches, there are tops, there are bottoms, but everybody is an equal. You won't hear people, you know, specifically answering, yes, sir, especially if they're not in a relationship with the person. And especially because we aren't seeking to have our conversations and our communications broadcasting, you know, who we are to the ordinary diners in whatever place that we are meeting. So, no, you won't see somebody coming in the door and kneeling or becoming prostrate as soon as they walk in the door.
Yeah, I saw in Lee Herndon's book again, which was Playing Well with Others. It just came back to my mind. It's important to consider what you wear. It's just not street legal we're worried about. It's street appropriate, because we're going to be crossing paths with people that are not there for our event, and we need to not draw undue attention to the event that we are, to the group of people we are with, by dressing excessively over the top, would be my advice. Now, your may vary from month to month.
Yes, and that includes, depending on obviously where you are in the country, what your venue is, you know, something that, for instance, takes place in a bar like a slosh, which is basically a munchin, more of a bar environment, or something along those lines, is going to have a very different attire expectation than, for instance, something that is a brunch at, you know, a Cracker Barrel restaurant or some other very mundane sort of place. So it's like most things, know your audience, and the audience isn't necessarily the people just at the munch. So yes, you're dressing to impress, but not in the same way. Your audience is also the cashier at that restaurant and the hostess and your waitress and the other people there, because these are the people that are also going to be looking at you, and these are the people who are also going to be judging the group that you're with.
And I would like to add something on behalf of the servers and the staff at the restaurant. Don't try to freak the staff out. We see that way too often occurring with the new people and new events, that they go in and they are wanting to just, they are flaming kinky, I guess would be the correct term.
You don't need to recruit them either. No need to freak out the vanillas, and you don't need to try to recruit them. If the interest is there, people will find what they need. You don't need to bring it to them.
This is true, and this is a great way to respect the group that you're with, because that group wants to be able to use that venue again in the future, I'm sure.
And as we talked about, you know, with the different, you know, demographics, depending on like where you are in the country and where the group meets, one thing I would mention is that when you see an RCP list, say on FetLife, and you see, you know, the demographics of the people that may attend this particular event, be aware that may or may not genuinely reflect who is going to be coming to that event. So I hear people sometimes, you know, will look at a list and say, oh, look, it's all doms, it's all subs, it's all girls, it's all guys. or whatever, and use that as an excuse not to attend because they've built up an expectation about who will be there. Be aware that, you know, what you see on an RSVP list may or may not be a true reflection of the type of people that will be there, both in age, in type, in look, and any number of things.
I know that for my personal munch that whenever the RSVP list is, we double the actual number when we tell the restaurant. So we have about half the people that attend have RSVP'd, and many that do RSVP don't show up. So, but we still have a lot more people that didn't RSVP at any given event.
Going back to what we talked about before about really understanding and reading through the event information, however, some RSVPs are very mandatory. Some places are much more firm on vetting either beforehand or getting to know people before a munch or even at a munch. So be very conscious of those that have a mandatory RSVP, because there are a few places where it is necessary to RSVP. It is necessary to communicate to the group leader that you specifically will be going. But as many places as that is, also be aware that there are many, many more places that what you see isn't necessarily what you're going to get.
And many of those events that have that mandatory RSVP, they often withhold the location until you have RSVP'd and gone through the process. So that is something that you have to be aware of. Sometimes you got to jump through the hoop.
Right. And that also will make that kind of event much more difficult to find, for instance, on FetLife when you're doing a search for events in your area, which is another reason to really look hard for the groups and gatherings in your area, not just to rely simply on the city name of where you live.
I also like to add something that some newbies sometimes forget, particularly in their zeal. I have discovered this, that they often have been searching for a time. What you see stays where you see it.
Absolutely. And that includes very simple things that you might not think of. Maybe you run into a coworker. That's not the time for the next day to go, wow, I didn't expect to see you there last night, when you're seeing them the next day. Even there are a number of people who would consider a posting even on a, say, a FetLife wall to say, it was great seeing you last night, may be uncomfortable.
Back in the Bay Area, we always had a very much more confidential approach to things. If we went to work the next day and we saw a friend that was at the munch, we would never out them to anyone and say, or I saw somebody yesterday. Oh, where were you? Oh, I was over at the, you know, so-and-so. We just didn't talk about it. I noticed that it's a lot more free today. People talk about where they are, what they've seen, and it could be very dangerous to out somebody.
We don't always even think about it. We live in a day where, we Instagram what we ate for dinner, and we tweet, where we are at all times, and put up Facebook messages about what we're doing, checking in at whatever restaurant we're at, and we don't necessarily think how people can put two and two together. Now, I'm not trying to scare people, away from attending munches, but it is a realistic concern to be aware that there are people out there that can use information in nefarious ways. Although that is a very rare occurrence, it's still something that is important to be conscious about, both for our own choices and for other people. So even though we may be very comfortable being out and about, somebody else next to us may not be. They might be a teacher or a bus driver or somebody who works with kids that might have more to risk. They might be in the middle of a custody battle. And even though these things may never come up, I wouldn't want to have the risk or it on my head if something I said or did negatively impacted somebody else's livelihood or happiness or family life.
I think I'm seeing this being a bit of a generational issue, as a division between the more mature people in the community and the younger generation who have grown up in the social networking era and used to their lives being totally out there, and they haven't had their first sting of rejection because of their interest or their pursuit.
Well, it's very easy to think that we can be open and out because, our lifestyle as a kinky lifestyle kind of is following in the same footsteps in some ways as like the gay and lesbian community. And as they have gotten out and about more, as they've become more mainstream, it's very easy for us to say, oh, well, it's no big deal to reveal who we are. The gay and lesbian community has worked many, many years on becoming more and more accepted and more mainstream. And that level of out that they are is not a point that, in general, we are as kinky people. And it's very important for us to keep in mind that distinction. It's not always important that we need to hide, but it is important that we remember that we don't always need to tell everything either.
Discretion is a good thing to have. Now, when you meet these people, what if you don't know how to address? How should you approach them?
Courtesy and general manners will get you very, very far wherever you go. And one easy way, if you are talking to someone, is to say simply, how would you prefer that I address you? And that person can let you know, or they might even indicate, for instance, if there's some sort of restrictions on their speech or anything unusual. But, you know, you may know him online as, you know, Lord High Master Max, when he may just simply say, well, call me Max. And if you know this person, and then you know what to call him, instead of being shy or feeling that you can't speak to him because you don't know what to call him. Make it easy on yourself and make it easy on them by just asking.
So common courtesy. We're not removing ourselves totally from the world of reality. We're just gathering with people that have similar interests to ours.
What you learned in kindergarten, what you learned in high school, will serve you very well here. That includes, you know, being polite to people will work very much. It also means don't take and don't touch what isn't yours. That's one thing to keep in mind at a munch. You might see, for instance, people, you know, hugging, groping, kissing each other in a very casual and comfortable way. But keep in mind that just because you might see somebody being very familiar with someone, don't assume that that particular person is with you. People need to realize that those kind of arrangements are by consent and agreement.
And that brings me to a comment that I had jotted down. Knowing someone's preferred label doesn't mean you know them. If you're a dom and a woman is submissive, that doesn't mean that she's submissive to you.
So don't expect her to go ahead and grab you that iced tea that you're waiting for a refill on while you're waiting for your meal.
Oh, you're taking the joy out of my sales.
Oh, I'm just putting more joy in.
What else might you want to add today, Joey?
I would point out to people, too, to look around, too, as you're looking into their local communities, that while munches are a great way to get introduced to who's out there and what's going on, more and more communities all the time are popping up with other activities and interest groups and ways to get to know people. For instance, many areas will have book groups and book discussion groups and writing groups and, for instance, gun shoots and rope practices and, you know, leather meets and any number of things. It's not just simply a munch or the dungeon and that's your only opportunities and options anymore.
I know our poly group here is having a breakfast meeting and an early movie this coming Saturday is one of their events they're putting together. So there's all sorts of options out there. We have a fitness group that has popped up that get together on the weekends for hikes and walk and kayaking and canoeing. So there's many, many options out there.
Photography groups, learning more about different ties, about different skill sets, but also just general photography. I mean, the options are endless. And if you're not finding, you know, what you're interested in, look really well, look around, because it might be there. But if it really isn't there in your community and you're really interested in it, if you build it, they will come, as they say. You know, start a group and, you know, learn to publicize it and open up and, you know, you'll find people that are interested in that area.
I like to call it being the lightning rod. Hold your hand up and lightning will strike.
Absolutely.
And good things happen.
We found that on the coast, it's very easy to find very active kink groups. But in the central part of the country, It is very much more restricted in the Midwest and what have you. And you get people that are not near the big cities, you know, that may be an hour or more drive away. It's a lot harder to find those. And recently, the Beast mentioned to a caller that we had a question on to be that lightning rod and start a munch in the town where they were to try to attract the local people to come out, and because they were complaining about they couldn't meet people in a small town.
And I think a lot of times people don't realize that there is something there. If they, for instance, haven't explored Fetlife yet, if they haven't found that, and are only searching, for instance, through Google, they're not going to find any number of groups that are exclusively on Fetlife. You know, that is one of the biggest reasons why I started, you know, the directory, was so that people could find those groups that are basically hidden outside of Fetlife. I'm not out there to reveal these groups. My information is very general as far as basically just, you know, like what town it is if I have it, or that general vague information. But it at least is enough to let people know that there really is something in southern Illinois. There really is something in, you know, Montana. In fact, there's lots of things in Montana if you start to look around. These are the kind of things that people may not realize are out there. And again, this goes back to also knowing how to search for things, especially in more vague geographic areas. You may need to look around a little bit more. And that is why I encourage people to look around on FetLife as well as findamunch.com, because you might find those things in central Texas, but you might not find a website for a Dallas or an Austin group. You won't find necessarily dallaskink.com.
If somebody is starting a munch and hosting, how do they get their munch listed on your site?
Well, it's very easy. We have an updates button that they can go through and point that out on there and fill that out on a very simple form where they basically give me the link and the information for where to find their group. Any other websites that they might have, like if they've started their own website for it as well. Or they can write directly to updates@findamunch.com, and I'll be glad to process the information from there. I am well aware that there are many, many, many groups that need to still be added because it's a constant process. FetLife alone has like 70,000 groups on it right now that are alive and actually have members in it. And of that 70,000 groups, at least a good third to a half have a geographic component to them. The links I have on my website are not just simply for something that is exclusively in the description of a munch, but can be also, for instance, just something that has a locality base. Say you're California submissives, and it's for, obviously, submissives in California, and it's just a discussion group. Well, the common factor is still its geography, and so it would be listed in findamunch.com. So these are the kind of things that I try to include and try to capture and are also hard to find otherwise. I also find that, like, smaller interests sometimes get overlooked, especially if they simply go by abbreviation. Like the adult baby community or diaper lovers often abbreviate to AB or DL, for instance. And these can be very tough search terms if you're either trying to search it on Google and or on FetLife.
I can imagine. Look, I can imagine the fun searching baby on Google.
Maybe in Atlanta, I can just, yeah, I can imagine the thousands of links you would get back. But fortunately, I make that a little bit easier for people.
And you're doing a great job, Joy. I know that we connected when you were updating the Tennessee list and you emailed to check on my AOS event. And that's how we started our conversations. And I've discovered what a great resource you had. We want to thank you for coming on our show today and talking to our listeners. Again, we've had Joy with findamunch.com joining us today.
Jason here for the National Coalition for Sexual Freedom on kinkycast.com. The National Coalition for Sexual Freedom is fighting for your rights. See how they're doing it at ncsfreedom.org.
And that does it for another one. Take it away, Max.
You have been listening to episode 14 of the Kinky Cast. Today we heard Joyce Preder of FindAMunch.com in our Venturing Out series. We want to hear from you with your comments or questions. So email us questions@kinkycast.com or call and leave a voicemail at 916-KINKY69. If you leave a contact number, we will try to reach you to join us on the show. Some listeners want to remain completely anonymous, so we have the Bashful tab on our webpage. Just type your message and hit send. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of Woody, the Beast, and Cassie, I'm Max. See you next week, when we hear from author and publisher Janet Hardy.